Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Hope everybody out there is doing well tonight. I am your host, now batting, for Dr. John Stamey, the regular host, our long-lost host, Dave Batwell, speaking to you tonight. Hope everything's going great. We're having an interesting day here in Jacksonville, which we will cover during the show. But nevertheless, I'm going to pass it around as I go outside and light up my cigar and uncap my malt beverages with the blue label on it. Hopefully, with the janky weather we've had today, I will stay in one piece as I'm out here enjoying the drink. So, as I'm getting all that lined up, I'm going to pass it around to my esteemed panel, starting off with our survivor man at the point right now, who's trying to get his house back in one piece. Tim, what is going on tonight?
That's right, trying to get past Thunderstorm Gamma, as I've decided to name it. Anything that does destruction to my house, I got to name it, right? But, yeah,
right.
I took off the porch, put a hole in the ceiling in my office, covered the pool. But we're safe. The house is livable, no main structural damage, just a lot of repair work and a nice, healthy insurance claim. But we're all doing good. Still looking forward to Labor Day weekend. Got cool plans for that. So everybody's A-okay here.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's some scary stuff, man. Yeah, as we were speaking in the green room, you know, we've all had our bouts with the weather, and it's kind of funny when you run into that kind of stuff. I don't know about you, but I know Todd's the same way, that whenever something strange happens, you kind of have this control factor. And, you know, some people panic. Some people just kind of go into this game mode. And thankfully, I got that from my dad. My dad's, if there's one guy on the planet to be in a foxhole with, it's my dad, because he doesn't, when he panics, you know you're screwed, you know. But when you have the weather stuff going down, you have absolutely zero control over that. You know what I mean? And it's hard to remain cool, hard to remain confident, because you have zero bearing on what's going on. And, yeah, that's some scary stuff. When the trees hit the house, everything just, I mean, the house shakes, the house makes all kinds of noises. You got to take into account where everything's at, where everybody's at. And, yeah, it's some scary stuff. So good to hear you and the crowd are doing well as you can. And your house is coming back together. So, yeah, all the best going your way, brother, and tell the family the same.
Will do.
So, across the street from Brother Tim, my long-lost brother from here in Jacksonville, and my anchor man, Todd. What's going on, buddy?
How y'all doing? I am doing outstanding. Just supernatural, ecstatic to be here. And who the hell knows? Just where the hell out from work and just keeping on sometimes, man. That's just sometimes we got to drop down in that mode, and that's where I'm at the moment.
I hear you,
could
man.
Be worse.
Yeah, you got to keep getting it, you know. So, give you a little heads up, which will segue into tonight's topic. Tell you the interesting day I have had. For one, I had to blow out the washing machine drain. And I think any homeowner from one time or another has experienced when over time just dust and crud and anything else gets caught up in your washing machine drain line that's behind your washing machine, of course, and that has to be blown out. Normally what you do is you call a plumber. Well, me, what I do is I went out and I bought this little gadget a little while back. It's called a Drain King. Well, they were formerly Drain Kings. That was the original name. The patent ran out, so they have the generic ones all over the place now. And now it's a $10 bladder, rubber bladder. It looks like a dildo is what it looks like, but nevertheless. and for those of you who don't know what a dildo is.
Way too familiar with them.
Yes, Google that shit. So what you do is you put this thing at the end of your garden hose and you drop it down in the washing machine drain and you crank that hose up full blast. And what happens is that plastic bladder, that rubber bladder, swells up and plugs up the drain and pressurizes water. It has a little hole at the end and pressurizes water through your drain system, thereby shooting high pressure water into that drain and blowing out the other end, whatever is obstructing the drain. So drop that in there, cleared it out about 10 minutes flat. I mean, I just went and put a flannel shirt on just so I could feel more like Bob Vila. top of the world. So I go to do laundry, and I'm in the kitchen, and I hear this water splashing. And I'm like, what in the hell? So I go over there. Laundry room is in about an inch or two of water. Me and my infinite wisdom, when I had gone in there and blunged this thing out, forgot to put the damn hose back into the drain. So,
I've done that crap before. I've done similar stuff to that. I feel your pain. Oh, my gosh.
You want to talk about the ultimate feeling of a dumbass, man. I mean, my God. So, while all that was going on, and, you know, I was inventing new profane language and all that kind of stuff, Rob comes in the house. He let the dogs out. He comes in and they pop. He says, not to make your day any more exciting, he says, but you got to come outside and look at this. I was like, huh? So I go walking out, and about a 25-foot piece of tree has fallen. This big-ass maple I got in the backyard here has fallen and missed my shed by maybe about 10 feet or less. And, yeah, never felt it hit the ground, never heard it, never heard it crunch. It's just almost like it just got placed there. So now my weekend is cut out for me. And I was looking for an excuse to have a bonfire. And now I have lumber to hook that up. And but with all that excitement, something even more exciting happened today, which will lead us into our topic, was went to go run some errands this morning. Had some things pick up for the house, and noticed sheriff deputies, we have the wall, I mean, all over the place. They were up and down the bypass, and they were all over, and, you know, Todd, you know where I'm speaking. They were down there on 258 after the bypass, like you're heading to Richlands. And I thought they were having one of those little training day traffic things or a funeral perhaps. Well, none of them were moving. They were just sitting on the side. And I bet you I passed a dozen of them, right? I'm like, what in the hell is going on, right? So, nevertheless, I find out because on Facebook, you know, you get on those little community chat pages on Facebook, come to find out that Jacksonville – police, highway patrol, and Onslow County Sheriff's Department were all up and down the 24 corridor from the main gate all the way up to 111, down 111 to Albert J. Ellis Airport, which means there was somebody in town, and they were on base. And that individual was none other than the First Lady. So, I guess, bearing in mind that the one young lady, I believe her last name was was G or G, I don't know how it's pronounced, but the young lady that was holding the Afghani infant and all the pics lost her life, of course, and is stationed here in Camp Lejeune. And they sent Ms. Biden to come down here and do her damage, seeing that her husband did nothing more than piss off the families of everybody else. So, yeah, interesting. Nobody knew the First Lady was in town. I guess it's a good thing. Hats off to Jacksonville planning and infrastructure and law enforcement for being able to get this person, because she doesn't have my respect at all, but to get her in and out of Onslow County without incident, because I can tell you the emotions are still running high here in Onslow County, and for her to come into town was pretty pretty ballsy, but nevertheless it was done. So how does that segue into this evening? Well, this evening we're going to be grinding up current events. What's going on out there? What's been happening? So you know how we are. We can get all over the place with a show. So we're just going to go ahead and start throwing things up against the wall and seeing how well they stick. And as always, we will probably end up with some good recipe sharing or maybe going even worse with some more dildo jokes. So let's let her rip. So first can of worms I want to open up, and I'm sure you gentlemen have read where the families – of these Marines have gone to the White House to meet with the president, and the stories they're telling are absolutely heartbreaking. One mom said that he rolled his eyes at her. All the families have said that all he did was talk about his son, who's passed away of cancer, and didn't really even bother talking about them or their sons and daughters. As per the watch checking thing that you noticed when they were pulling the caskets off the plane, it didn't happen once. The press will show you just him doing it one time. But according to those families, he did it. One of them said that he did it every time a casket went by. And I don't know. For me, it's a lack of class and it's a lack of humanity. There are times just to, you know, go with it. You know what I mean? Where there's nothing can be said, so don't say anything. And for him to be acting in that manner is pretty damn disheartening for the leader of this great nation. So, I don't know. It's really sad. And being, you know, a guy who's connected with the military, you know, and particularly the Marine Corps, I couldn't imagine, could not imagine being there in the White House with the President of the United States sitting across the way from you, and he's rolling his eyes as you speak. Yeah, it's just mind-numbing. So, with all that said, what's y'all's opinion on that?
Todd, you take it.
I have a myriad of things to say, but I don't think I'm allowed to say much of what I want to, given my current employer. literally. I think it's going to affect him as well. What I will say is be careful what you ask for. You get it sometimes, and apparently a record number of people ask for this. I think this also reflects on them.
Yes.
I will say it also reflects on that record number of people, and I'll just leave it at that.
Even the ones in the cemetery. A little election fraud joke there for you. No, I totally understand. Totally agree. It's something to behold the way that the whole thing was handled. And, you know, I actually, and again, here I go again with my self-educating, read up on your stuff. You know, I got to thinking about it. And there's four presidents who had to share in the 20-year event of Afghanistan as it was. And, well, you know, the first one, of course, was George Bush, who got us there in a response to the 9/11 attacks. Totally understood. I see why, because had we not responded aggressively to 9/11, it would have continued to happen. So going over there and, you know, getting the ball rolling, if you will, was a necessary evil. So I get that. Obama, who of course picked up on what, you know, Bush had left over, and of course was in office when Osama bin Laden was dealt with. And then, of course, President Trump, who, in my opinion, you know, didn't do anything with it, but didn't make it worse. And then, of course, we've got to this guy now, which I can't even damn say his name, to be quite honest with you, for as disgusted as I am. But the handling of it, to me, for one, I love the way everybody likes to throw it back on Trump. Yeah, Trump had his faults. But what Biden forgets is that he was the second man prior to Trump. And for me, the whole idea behind going to Afghanistan was tracking down the mastermind and the guy financing the 9/11 attacks, who was Osama bin Laden. When he was eliminated, that should have been when we started saying, okay, you guys remember the movie The Untouchables? At the end of The Untouchables, after they lock up Al Capone, the next scene is Elliot Ness cleaning out his office, and he's kind of getting everything cleaned up, and they ask him, hey, what are you going to do next? And he says, I think I'm going to get a drink. It kind of was the same way. When we eliminated bin Laden, we should have started cleaning up then and started thinking about leaving then, because at that point we had done the job. You understand what I'm saying? That was the whole gist behind getting over there was you know, capturing Lex Luthor and taking him to the authorities. And which, you know, the authorities here, of course, are, you know, being dead couldn't happen to a nicer guy with bin Laden. But nevertheless, that's when I feel like we should have started putting things in motion. Now, we've left, and the thing of it is that this situation, it has blossomed, and I hate like hell to use that word. It's probably a wrong word. it has it turned into a larger mess than just politics, okay? You know, for one, we've left a lot of people over there that helped us out, that took the risk and helped us out for, you know, intelligence purposes, interpretation purposes. People are left over there, and their days are numbered. So you have that. You also are setting a standard to the rest of our allies who depend on us to a certain extent for protection. And now they are kind of going, well, is he going to back out of our shit too? So there's a breach of trust in other countries that aren't involved, but are involved because they depend on us for a certain grade of defense. Then there's the loss of equipment. And that, this is one that really, really frightens me. We've left, I had the numbers. I couldn't find it. For some reason, I must have deleted it or didn't save it or something to that effect. But over 350,000 automatic rifles were left behind. Okay. Now, why does that bother me? Because you're so damn busy trying to keep me as an American from owning rifles, but you gladly leave 350,000 of these in the possessions of the bad guys. And there's so much that goes into it. I mean, the 50 cals, the damn howitzers that they left out there. They left, I think, 5 or 6 Chinook helicopters, 7 tons. The amount of equipment that was left, and when I say equipment, I'm not just talking our, you know, military grade stuff. I'm talking, you know, did you guys see the video of all them working out in the gym? It's hilarious.
I haven't seen that one.
It is absolutely hilarious because they ain't got the foggiest idea of what they're doing with the stuff, but they're on treadmills and all that jazz. It's funnier than hell. But you're looking at all that stuff, and you know who paid for all that? We did. Our tax money did. And we left it right there without a second thought. And it would be the equivalent of Batman driving the Batmobile to the Joker's house, parking it in his garage, getting out, leave the keys in the ignition, and just peacing out and going back to the Batcave. And even pirates, for God's sake, 400 or 500 years ago, and there's the Sounds of Freedom right there, outstanding. But even in the days of piracy, they would scuttle ships because they didn't want somebody else to have the damn things, you know? So, I don't know. For me, it just was such a, my God, it's just so baffling. But I totally agree with what Todd said. And, you know, I've said it quite often in the last week is, I hope you all are sleeping well, because y'all are the ones who have made this happen. You know, North Korea cranked up a nuclear site again that they had decommissioned on Trump's watch. So, I mean, it's just all... It blows my mind to see how little regard they have for doing the right thing. And Afghanistan, yeah, it was time to go. But on the flip side, we still have bases in Germany, right? Because Germans there for a while were stirring up all the shit, right? You know, we still have Okinawa. We still have bases in Korea. Why? Because we fought wars there too. And sometimes having a presence is all that's needed. It's kind of like when you were a kid and you'd be grab-assing around, and then when Dad walked in the room, you got cool all of a sudden. It's the same principle. It's the same thing. So you've got certain nations that we have had conflict with, and we have defeated, and we have set up a presence. Is it a military presence? Is it a threatening presence? No, it's just the goddamn presence. So, for us just to pack up and leave those people, leave that equipment, and leave that situation is just absolutely horrifying, man. And to me, it kind of pisses on the leg of every combat veteran that we had over there, alive or dead, and the work they did. It's just hard to digest, guys. Hard to digest.
A wee bit.
So.
A wee bit. But enough. There's a lot going on with that. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, just the, it's not like the planning wasn't, people weren't told to plan for it. So I don't know. It'd be like, I know here in the Midwest, some of the campgrounds, not so much, some of them, they actually just leave the campers there year-round, that kind of thing. But Dave and I know out there on the East Coast, there's a lot of the seasonal campgrounds where folks come in, want to be near the beach area, stuff like that. Everybody leaving all their stuff there? It just, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean like leaving it, not saying I'm going to come back. That's a whole... Yeah.
And some of the stories that are coming out of
it's interesting. They I really wonder where the Department of Defense does have a has been undergoing for a number of years and is continuing to undergo a financial audit. So I'm wondering how that part's going to play.
Yeah, good point.
I'm just saying. And there's been. Somebody may ask, hey, how come you're saying you won't comment stuff involving the employer and stuff? Well, I'd like to point out that a certain active duty lieutenant colonel stood up asked a couple questions, made a couple statements. Well, they wanted to relieve him of duty. He already he submitted his resignation. So
yeah.
Go pound that sand. When it came down to the option, nope. do not desire to accept a commission in the reserve. And very simply, the reason for submitting a letter of resignation, a lack of trust and confidence in your ability to lead. His letter was addressed to SecNav, and it went via the Commandant of the Marine Corps.
Yeah. That's somebody who believes in it. And hats off to that gentleman. I can't remember his name, but, yeah, what a move. I mean...
I know the name. I just... You know what? Credit is due. He's, so far, he's been the only person relieved over the situation. It's Lieutenant Colonel Scheller.
I mean, hats off to the gentleman for standing by his word. I mean, I think there's a little bit of that in a lot of us that have gotten to the point where we just, you know, and what's bad about it is that we're not even a full year into this guy's presidency. And you got people out here calling for his resignation, and I'm going, do you guys want him to resign? Because the two behind him...
There it is. There it is. I know people are saying that, but do they really remember who the VP is?
Yeah.
But, you know, be careful what you ask for, people.
And it's funny how they've kind of just tucked her away. I think they all learn that she is useless, and they're doing everything they can to keep her Well, you know, Todd, you recall several of the managers that we've worked with over the years just weren't up to par. And
yep.
whenever the heavy-duty stuff started happening, we just told them to go take a lunch because they were more valuable uninvolved than what they were involved. And I think that's
I know
part
people
of the
like that.
I think that's part
no,
of the
dude,
equation.
Dude, you would not believe there's, you know, poor Tim works with a ton of different, he's had quite a few life's experience. Our stories about the Indy 500 and his experiences with that, right? Well, everything that he brought up and might have maybe said about the Indy 500, we worked with a guy who would have told you how he was advising every one of the crew members for every team out there while all
really?
That stuff was going on. And
damn, that guy's important.
The ones that didn't listen to him did not win. And then he would have told you how he should have been a pro driver. What was the best one was when he said he was they tried to get him to become a professional opera singer.
You're making this shit up,
wait a
right?
Minute.
No, because isn't that the one even Stewie's? Yeah, that was Stewie's response to him, right? That was Stewie's response to that particular man. That was one of them. Oh, my God. You won't believe this shit.
Well, we all know a guy like that or a guy's. And I think that's where they've got her tucked away. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, too, is that, we all have things that happen that we don't agree with, and we get up in our feels about it sometimes. And, you know, it, Todd, me and you, I don't know how many times, I'm sure, you know, you could recall times where I walked up to you and said, hey, am I being a bitch about this? You know, because there are times we come up on things, and we don't know whether we're just up in our emotions or whether we're thinking clearly, and we value other people's opinions. So right now with all the mojo going on, that old sleepy man is, putting out there, you notice that all the mouths, the AOCs, the Pelosis, the Schumers, all those nitwits are dead silent. Even the McConnells, even the ones on the other side of the aisle, none of them are talking. okay? You want to know why that is? It's because they all know the guy is a dipshit. If there's one thing they can all agree on, can't order pizzas for Congress because they'll never be able to get what the topping's going to be. But I think they all agree that Sleepy Joe is a total dumbass. And it's funny how their silence speaks loudly. So, but I still
I am impressed with those that are not silent in the sense of the media been by and far they've been they were stroking the honeymoon and stuff like that, and at a certain point it was like, and this may only be a blip in it, but boy, there's been those staunch supporters have been, then now mind you, there's still plenty of them that said, like one of them, I think what was the comment the other day, the 90% of the public, 95% of the public believes what he said or agrees with what he said, which is hilarious because 95% of the public is pretty much, I think the last thing they agreed with anything close to those numbers was, you know, getting motivated, patriotic after 9/11. That's about the last time there was anything close to that percentage.
Yeah, I don't know if anything that's agreed 95%
that,
on.
And then this person turned around and said, a member of the media that 95% of the media won't, or 90 or 95, whatever the hell the percentage was, said that, you know, wouldn't agree with what was said. And any other time, that just wouldn't have been the case. That was mind-boggling. There's still people like that, but that now the media is actually starting to go a little bit after one another. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I've noticed that, how they're kind of cannibalizing. Yeah. Well, it's like the whole thing with Cuomo. I mean, for God's sake, how long did this guy carry on? And you know what the real thing is, or the real shame about the whole Cuomo thing, is that here's a guy who everybody has a Cuomo story. You know what I mean? There's all these people coming out of the woodwork, male, female, alien, in between, whatever. And they're all coming out and they're having these stories about this guy, but yet he remained in power. Okay? In the meantime, you know, here you are trying to manage a Taco Bell and you fart in the office. They're breaking you, they're busting you back. You know, so how this guy is maintaining the control of one of the most powerful states in the union, and then he's got his brother nightly looking at the cameras, talking to the world, and going, "Ah, man, everything's great, Doug." It's
I'm still giggling because you said Taco Bell and fart in the same sentence.
It kind of goes hand in hand, right?
Yes,
I like it.
What's the old joke about the Taco Bell associate says, the Taco Bell boss says, "Did you wash your hands?" And the associate goes, "No." And the boss says, "Well, that's all right. Everybody's going to get the shits anyway." Just comes with the story.
I've made the joke many times that, you know, sometimes we're not eating necessarily for flavor or anything like that. It's just about getting something in to fill the hole and eventually make a turd. With Taco Bell, it never quite hits that consistency for the turd. Just saying.
Yeah, when they say solid,
we're gonna run sideways a little bit because I got it. Tim hit me with the message. Yeah, let's tell some Scott Curry stories. This is a guy Dave and I used to work with. because there wasn't a damn thing this dude did do that somewhere in life there was, you know, I mean, you could say how your grandfather was a tool and die maker right after World War One, and he had an experience in there somewhere.
Yeah. We actually sat down one day. Me and Donnie was in the cash office and sat down, and we picked the brains of a couple of cash office associates that you are very near and dear with, Todd. And we started jotting down all of the occupations that he had held. And we did a chronological thing. We're like, okay, we know he couldn't have gotten into the military until he was 18. So we're going to start the over-under at 18 years old. So he said he did this for 4 years, so four. And he said he did this for 2 years and two. And he said he did that, and, you know, two and four and one. And I think we come up to, like, he was 148 or 150 some odd years old from all the stuff that he had done. And, yeah, so you talk about somebody that transcends time and space.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was a whole, you know, you're a pathological liar. No, I'm not. The,
oh, shit.
No, dude, see, this is one I would almost love to have Stewie on the call and maybe Scotty. Just to go over some of the stories.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's
these are cats we worked with. Speaking
of
Scotty,
stuff.
You had a birthday this last week, and happy birthday, Scotty.
Did. And I spoke to Scotty not too long ago, and he is doing well, or is doing as well as he possibly can in his current line of work.
Yeah,
so,
I did get to see him when I was back visiting on one visit. And got to see the kids. God.
Yep.
Leap damn 2.5 years and those kids shot up. Son of a gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Scotty's a good man. I tell you what, he's another one of those guys that I met. And, you know, he had one youngin' in diapers, and that was it. And now he's, you know, got the whole crowd and has got the dad thing going on and is really kicking some ass. So that's another one of those ones that you're kind of, every time you see him, you just hope nothing but the best for him, because he is. He's come along so good. As a matter of fact, our good friend Josh Mayers today is celebrating 2 years of his karate school being open. Another good success story.
That's awesome.
Fine young man. Yeah.
What a timing to try to set that up and stuff. Yep.
Yeah. But, so, let's move on to another current event topic. This one's going to be a little funnier to kind of lighten things up. And it's not really funny. It's unfortunate. But for some of us, we'll get a slight muffled chuckle out of it. Was
well,
the
so
whole
it's not exactly funny, ha-ha.
Yeah, it's one of those, if you're going to laugh, do it behind his back things. What's the old saying? If you don't have something nice to say, wait for the person to leave the room to say it. Darth Belichick and his dismissal of one Cam Newton. Oh, God. I mean, yes, the way this whole story keeps unfolding. I mean, apparently, you know, because the news broke that Cam had been released by the Patriots, right? Well, then the details start happening. For one is, when the press got hold of the whole word about Cam, they had pretty much gotten it off of his social media. That's where they were getting their information. But what they didn't know is at the same time, Coach Belichick had done a press conference that morning and pretty much said, yeah, well, Cam's moving in the right direction. You know, we got a lot of options for quarterback. But it made it sound like Cam was doing just fine. And then turned around 20 minutes later and said, hey, pack your shit. Wow. You want to talk about
that? Well, that's what he said. I'm guessing he told them just before that press conference to pack his stuff. And that's what he meant by he was moving in the right direction.
Yeah. He was moving on out.
By that, I mean out the door.
So Cam is out looking for a job, and of course there's all this speculation about where he's going to end up, blah, blah, blah. And for me...
Doesn't matter, he's going to be a second stringer.
Exactly. Yep. He's going to have to wait for somebody... There's going to have to be some injuries is what's going to have to happen to get him back. You know, there's going to have to be a mass casualty rate in the quarterback position because and here we go again, gentlemen. We've spoken about it before, and I know you've heard me talk about Rob. You know, when I give him the old dad advice is always look at the big picture and always know what you're doing today is going to affect you tomorrow somehow or another. Might affect you in a good way, might affect you in a bad way, okay? But whatever you do today, it's going to affect you tomorrow, right? And I think Cam's is going to be his worst enemy. I think his... You know, and I'm kind of strange about that stuff, man. I'll be honest. And you guys, I don't know, you guys got to chime in on this. When you're losing, you shut up. It befuddles me when a team is down 48-0 and they put in their red shirt guys and the other team finally scores a touchdown. The guy spikes the ball, gets in front of the camera, starts beating on his chest, and I'm going, dude, you're still down 40-some-odd damn points.
Yeah.
There's nothing to celebrate here. Go your ass to the sideline, let the kicker put the extra point on there, and then get your ass back out there and do it again 5 or 6 more times so you can catch up. But right now, there's no reason to celebrate. And I think Cam a lot of times – kind of projected a, he projected kind of a personality of not accepting or not taking a loss seriously, I guess is what I'm getting at. You know what I mean? And, you know, we all knew he was a dirty bird in Auburn and all that kind of stuff. And I think he's going to be another guy that just kind of Johnny Manziel'd his way right out of a job, to be quite honest with you. Now, interesting thing is that they're actually throwing this vaccination thing in with it, where he has not been vaccinated and has stated he has no interest in being vaccinated.
I don't think ours has either. I don't think Carson Wentz has been vaccinated. I think that's his. I think he's on a. I haven't checked actually today yet. Had a little bit too much going on around the house, so I've not been in the news hardly at all, which is why I've been kind of silent tonight. But yeah, last thing with Carson Wentz, he had been exposed to someone else who tested positive. He himself had not had any symptoms. I can't remember if he was tested. But I thought he had to be quarantined for 5 days, and I don't know. That could have come and gone, too. But I kept worrying about his injury. I don't know if he's going to be back for week one or not, but then this whole COVID, the vaccine and COVID and all that crap came up. Anyway, go ahead with Cam. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no. No, that's what I need. I mean, ain't nobody wants to listen to me talk 90 minutes, especially myself. But
no, yeah, the, in the cutting end. So I wonder if that'll play in with some of that stuff. Do you think the NFL's going to make that a issue?
Because, just for the record,
that one, I wonder where that article was, the one of the few vaccines that actually passed FDA is not one that's being distributed within the U.S. So that's one of those. Yeah, you kind of got to be careful. The FDA stated the truth. We passed this one. And, of course, the company jumped on it. Hey, our such-and-such vaccine has passed the FDA. All cool. But they all kind of just didn't bother mentioning that that's not a U.S. distro vaccine.
Right.
Right.
Great for what it's being distributed. Awesome. But,
yeah,
wow.
Just a little thing about the FDA, though. You know when you watch TV and they always have the James Sokolov, you know, if you or a loved one been exposed to so-and-so, you may be entitled to a settlement. All those things were FDA. Yes. All that stuff was FDA approved.
All of
the medicine.
And see, but remember with this one, they already said there's no retaliation on these.
Really?
From what I understand, when this stuff all came out initially, people that are having this stuff, because they rolled it out under this MNRA and, you know, this whole new process, that being the process way of putting it together, and all that, but apparently nobody's allowed to do lawsuits, and that's another thing. So they're telling you to take something that you can't retaliate for the negative. Here's, and we don't even know a touching a thing. Sure, we know so far all this stuff, you know, your usual, you're extremely old, you're extremely young, and those that are compromised already are already, you know, the primary line of victims with instinct, period.
Right.
They're going to be the same ones. They're going to be struggling to get out of a building that's on fire. Just saying. Let alone everything else. But again, but we know that some of these vaccines are and are not working. I think I just read an article about Israel. This doctor went out and said that a number of the people that are getting hit by the new strains have all, the amount that's been vaccinated is an extraordinarily high number. So the validity now is really dropping with what you're seeing, you know, if you're seeing it from certain places. So that's going on. But I got a friend that works for a pharmacy chain in Ohio, and it's a pretty big chain in Ohio, mostly northern Ohio. But they, several months back, restricted which vaccines that they will distribute for authorization because of the reactions with them. But you really don't hear that side of the business health discussions from the media. You know, is Walgreens actually using everybody's, or are they limited with who they're using? Just saying.
Yeah. And see, I could tell you, versus this time last year, I know a lot of people who have been vaccinated and have caught it again. And there lies a big concern for me because, take for instance, like my folks, who pretty much vaulted themselves for all of 2020. You know, if I went over to the house to check on them, I had to talk to them through the window. And, you know, you guys were calling me talking about how I couldn't get a hood for, you know, on my 50th birthday from my mom. They
I remember.
Out.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just thinking about you outside the window with the boombox.
Yeah, just out there doing the whole. God, what was his name? Totally slipping me. Love Actually thing, holding it up over his head. But yeah,
everybody
I,
in the 1980s.
Yeah, no, I mean I get it.
They've gotten the shot, but then after they got the shot, they started going back to living again. You know, they went down to Orlando. They stayed down there with my brother for 2 weeks. They've been out, you know, doing. They've been going out to dinner, blah, 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 blah. And now they're getting on the news, and they're going, well, you know, you can still catch this stuff.
But just to be clear, they always knew it would be. It was kind of like the flu shot, that it was supposed to attenuate it.
Right. So, you know, and now we've got a lot of places that seem to be going in reverse where they're, like, wanting to go back to locking down and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be honest with you, man, I still, as a matter of fact, to give you an update, I'm coming up on the one-year anniversary of not being able to smell anything. It was right around the middle of September when I realized, hey, I can't smell shit. And still to this moment, every now and then, it was a nifty little thing last week. I was out here at Misty, and she was building one of her monuments, and I got a whiff of it, and I was like, oh, wow, I just smelled dog shit. I mean, I was actually excited because I smelled dog poop. I was
going to go there with the pet, so yeah, that's because I was going to say, I figured if anything would clear that up, that would be one of those beasties.
And that one definitely worked its way through whatever. it beat the defenses, so I mean, it's, but again, I never
apparently Misty had some Taco Bell.
Yes. She was rather potent than Aaron, man. I'm telling you. That dog's something else. But, you know, for me, I'm going, okay. You know, so now we're starting to talk about, you know, we're going back to masking everything in sight. We're going back to, you know, walking down separate aisles. We're down to sending the kids home from school, shutting down everything again. Well, we're only going to do it for 30 days.
People knew that trying to set the aisles in one direction was never going to work. The damn mullet heads can't figure it out when the damn parking spots are geared for particular directions in the parking lot. They can't figure that crap out. Hell, you got
people
that drive sideways across all those spots.
Yeah. Who can't put shopping carts back in a corral. And you expect them to follow directions somewhere else. But nevertheless,
well, until they're allowed to start tasing people for doing shit wrong, then.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had brought that up the other day. Apparently, a gentleman had gone into my wife's place of employment and got somewhat erratic in there. And I told her, I says, you know, the funny thing is the reason why people do that stuff now is because back in the 80s and 90s, I remember beating the hell out of some people for shoplifting. Now, am I proud of it? Am I bragging on it? No. It's part of my history that I'm not real proud of. I roughed up, you know, some people in the store, you know, caught them stealing, and instead of, you know, and a lot of times it depended on the person. If they weren't combative, then we just handled it and it was all good. If they were combative, I've pushed the buttons back and, you know, we settled it physically and I never lost because it was always my turf, my staff. I mean, the cards were stacked for me and I took full advantage of it. But, you know, there was a relative doubt in everybody's mind that if I went into a store and showed my ass, that there'd be one guy on that staff that would come over and pave the parking lot with my asshole. Okay, but nowadays, the bad guys are always the one winning. So these people feel like they have carte blanche to come into places and not only say horrible things, but to do horrible things, to destroy property, to make threats. And we've even seen, you know, on video where they've actually gotten in the, you know, where they jump on these employees and everything. And, you know, for me, I'm like, if you knew you were going to tote an ass whipping back to the house, you wouldn't be doing that. So that's another part of American society that we've kind of lost touch on. But, you know, going back to the vaccination thing, man, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm not vaccinated yet. All right. Several reasons. Number one is I don't get the flu shot.
You don't have to justify anything.
I mean, the only shot I get is like whiskey, that kind of stuff, a Jaeger from time to time. That's one reason. Another reason is the truth. And that's one thing, this whole coronavirus thing. Nobody has told the truth about this thing. You know, the whole thing has been a huge lie. And I'm not saying that it's not out there. What I'm saying is all the stuff about it has been a lie. You get this guy that says, okay, well, if you wear the mask, we'll be fine. Well, everybody's wearing a mask, and everybody's still falling over from it. Well, this guy says if you get the shot, you'll be fine. Well, everybody gets the shot and wears a mask, and they're still falling over from it. You know, they called Trump a xenophobe for shutting down travel to China when all this hit. But in the meantime, Biden has, I finally named his ass, has cut off travel to Canada. You can't go to Canada right now because of his mandate. So for me, pardon me if I don't trust you sticking a needle in my arm and injecting me with something that I'm not aware of. It's the equivalent of you walking up to me with a glass of drink and say, drink this. I don't know whether it's something you put a Mickey in. I don't know if it's a jar of piss you're handing me. All I know is that you're telling me I have to drink whatever's in there. My answer is no, I'm not.
And just for the record, Dave learned this from when I gave him that prune juice.
Yes. That was a lack of trust right there. Well, at least with prune juice,
I told you it would be a moving experience.
It was definitely moving, life altering. But am I not getting the shot because I'm trying to make a statement? No. Am I not getting the shot because I'm trying to, the only communists get the shot? No, that's not it. I'm not getting the shot just because it doesn't make sense to me, and I don't believe in it. It's not that I don't believe in the shot. It's I don't believe in the people who are telling me to get the damn thing. I just don't trust them. And so now they're walking around blaming, well, the reason why they keep going is because all these people that don't have it, don't have the inoculation. Well, all right, so the people that are catching it who have had the inoculation, they didn't have something to do with it. I mean, they got it, right? So, I don't know. And, you know, going back to the NFL side of things, man, if it comes to a point where you're going to lose your job over a vaccination status. For one, us knowing that Cam doesn't have the shot is a HIPAA violation. Correct?
Yeah, I would think so, right? I know that's – I know you know the technical side on this. What do you think about that, where the, you know, when something like that comes out public?
I'm trying to think here. I know that there is a flat, defined answer. I don't know it off the top of my head. Me working in healthcare once upon a time, we had to be real close with HIPAA.
Well, there's that. I'm thinking of it strictly in like the – it is PII.
Well, I see it, but I'm curious. I guess vaccination record would count. So, you know, I mean, there's always – you got to think that there's always people
leaking
medical.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of gray.
Yeah. That and, you know, you got to think with any time that there's an athlete who has an injury, everybody knows it. Like, you know, almost before it happens. He's got a sprained ankle. Wait, he does? Oh, my God, he does. How did you do that? You know, but, I mean, it's crazy. It's, you know, so you don't know what kind of crap they've already signed that says X, Y, and Z can be, you know, we have the right to disclose this information because we own your, you know, it's in your contract right here, here, and here, you know, so God only knows what, you know, what's going to fly and what's not.
But I'm wondering about this stuff because what they brought up and all that is so-called passports. People got to show it to get into a store. I feel like that might be one of those violations.
But you got to think here, though. What we've already, you know, they've already been in, you know, I don't have them for schools.
Your kids' child record, vaccination record for schools and shit like that.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly where I was going. Is, you know, we all can't get your kid enrolled until it, you got to show the shot record.
But on the flip side, those shots that are on child shot record are shots that have been around. They're polio and that kind of stuff that we have.
Yeah, but they're still under that category and stuff, so I wonder about that. The the other thing that jumped in my little brain, housing group, Tim brought up a thought that the wider general medical with the sports athletes and that, because I was going to go, man, what about the players union? And then I was like, well, you know, they are really they definitely have their own unique status, don't they?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know, it's just for me that the whole idea behind HIPAA was, if you recall, when AIDS hit in the 80s, okay, a lot of the guys that were catching AIDS were closet homosexuals because homosexuals weren't looked at in the same light they're looked at now. They're more, you know, I mean, they're accepted a whole, and then you still have your folks out there that, you know, will jump up and down on a Bible and scream and yell about it. But by and large, I'd venture to say a large part of the population has gotten to the point where if you're gay, they don't even blink an eye. But back in the 80s, things were different. Okay, and there were certain stars, and we all remember Rock Hudson because Rock Hudson was the ladies' man. And when we find out that he was gay, everybody sucked all the oxygen out of the room and was going like, huh, him? You know, because Rock Hudson was a man's man. So part of the whole HIPAA thing came from that, where it was protecting people. It was privacy. It was protecting their health situation.
Well, yeah, that's part of the
public view. In the event that I'm taking Yang hardeners, let's say I got to take half dozen Viagra a week to keep things going, right? It ain't your business. It ain't my work's business. It ain't my parents' business. You know whose business it is? Mine, and maybe possibly whoever in the hell I'm trying to victimize after taking it. Outside of that,
Well, please. Now, look, you know that there is a practical use for those things. I've hit that age where it's practical for me to go ahead and take a quarter Viagra in the morning just to make sure I don't pee on my shoes.
You got a little bit of or it doesn't hurt just to have a little bit of control on it, you know? But, I mean, it does. It brings home a good point is that the whole idea behind the HIPAA thing was it's none of your business whether I'm taking Yang hardeners or not. And I don't know. I would gladly go out and get the shot. And going back to what Todd was just saying about the lawsuit thing, let's say 5 years down the road, people start dropping dead of cancer or whatever. You know, let's just say liver failure or respiratory failure or whatever. Okay, and they link it all back to these shots, and I'll do the air quotes, mandatory. So if my employer tells me you have to get a shot to stay working here, and I go, oh, shucks, well, I can't lose my job. I go get the shot, and 5 years from now, I come down with some untreatable disease that's an after effect of getting the shot. Well, hell, I'd been better off unemployed. Now I'm dead. You know, and the reason why I say that, and everybody looks at me and says, Dave, that's a bit extreme. Every goddamn building built up until probably 20 years ago had something in it called asbestos. We didn't know any better. Right? So, you know, cigarettes. You turn on a TV show from the 60s, every living room has an ashtray. Every desk has an ashtray on it. Every person is smoking, with the exception of, like, gun smoking bonanza.
I watched something recently where they were smoking their asses off, and I was like, this is one of the most recent productions I've ever seen, even though the timeline was the late 19-teens and early 20s. To mid-20s, that they were there smoking in a show. And that was, that has been out of moviedom for so long.
Yeah.
TV-dom, if you will, that it was just, it was like, dude, they're actually doing it. This stuff was just produced. It was Peaky Blinders, by the way, on Netflix.
Yeah. I still haven't gotten around to watching that. But, you know, I mean, but that there lies my point, is that if you watch the stuff, smoking was just part of living. I mean, hell, they used to put cocaine and heroin in medicine, right? Now we got people dying of the same thing. And my point being is, you know, until you could come and give me the truth about what you're putting in my body, then no, I'm not going to be in a rush of getting the shot. And for my employer to tell me that I can't work there unless I get the shot, is okay. So let's say I don't get the shot, or let's say I get the shot because it's going to prevent COVID at the workplace. All right. So then I go out and I have unprotected sex and catch a venereal disease and come into work and get it on with one of the staff at work and give them said venereal disease. How is that different? You see what I'm saying? You're still...
Are you Charlie Sheen?
Not yet. I gave it a shot in the 90s, though.
Well,
Yeah, before Dale came along, Charlie Sheen was definitely an idol of mine. That was for damn certain. I went Charlie Sheen before Charlie went Charlie Sheen. But thank God Dale came along and saved me from my wickedness. And now I am blissfully, I'm looking over my shoulder to make sure she's not behind me.
Oh, I bet you are. I was just laughing. I'm sorry, I was muted. I was thinking, you know what? I know you still have some of those same bowling shirts.
Of course. Why would I give those up?
The,
in case I have to go back to the Charlie scene, you know?
Hey, real quick. We are pushing our 17th minute after the 22nd hour of the day. Which means we're coming up on the tail end. And it really didn't take much effort. We didn't have, as always, not much planning ahead here. Some odds and ends things. But I just wanted to remind people about the timeline where we're at. We're getting down to the tail end.
Cool.
And since it's only three of us, we might maybe stand a chance of not needing extra innings. Maybe.
Yeah, we might actually be able to wrap this thing up on time. It's funny, I don't have them out here tonight. My next-door neighbor, God bless him, you know, you recall that Sergeant Major Carver had passed in the end of July or end of June. And God bless Ms. Carver next door, man. She has really been, staying strong and everything. Well, before Mr. Carver had passed, they had put a new light up on one of their sheds, and they had asked me, hey, would it bother you if we put this light up? And I said, it's your property, you don't have to ask my permission. They said, yeah, but it's a bright light and just want to make sure. And I was like, I let the dogs out all hours of the night, you know, it'll help. So they put this light up, and the first night it was out, I was like, my God, it's like being pulled right up next to the sun. I mean, this thing was brighter than hell, right? So anyhow, that thing's been up for a couple months. Well, she was getting some electrical work done on one of the other buildings they have, and they screwed something up. And that light's been out for a week. It is black here in my backyard. I can't even see the cigar I'm holding right now. So it's been kind of...
Are you sure it's a cigar?
Yeah, it feels
sure
like
a cigar.
Right? Yeah. And it's still a little warm. I haven't grabbed the wrong end of it yet. But, yeah, it's been a little different doing this show tonight because I'm having to feel around for my beer and all that kind of stuff, and I haven't put my cigar down, you know, and it's a whole different ballgame because, it is pitch-ass black back here, man. And I never, after this, you know, you hear these stories about people being stuck in the woods overnight. Hell with that. If it gets this dark, shit on that. Ain't no way. I could have an elephant standing behind me right now, and I would not know. That's how black it is here in my backyard now.
Oh, and you're the one that talks smack about those chem lights.
Yeah. I damn sure damn digging them now. I know that. God damn.
Yeah. My kingdom for a chem light and a Bigfoot.
Yes. So speaking of Bigfoots and elephants, man, for next week's show, just a little something we could throw out there. You know what I watched the other night?
Wait a minute. Let me guess. You're going to bring up shopping experiences at Walmart.
Not yet. I watched.
Well, I thought that's where you were going with Bigfoot and.
Well, that's close. That's what you'll find there. That's for damn certain. What? Speaking on smoking just a couple minutes ago, another film, I watched the original King Kong the other night. And it's been a while.
I saw you post that.
Dude, it's been a while since I've seen it. It's amazing how well that film has held up. Everything about it was good. And it was almost like I appreciated it more this time than all the other thousand times I've watched it. But yeah, it was damn good. I enjoyed it. So
I mean, for the stop motion and everything that was done back in the day, the you know, that film is what gave us Ray Harryhausen. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That film impacted him so much, he became the master of stop motion.
So maybe next week, what we can go on are old films that still hold up now versus old films that don't hold up.
Okay. This is so cute. I would love to point out to the audience, it's so cute that somebody thinks we'll actually remember this by next week.
Yeah, I'm going to have to write it down.
I'm just saying, it's not that we don't care or anything like that. We're just, we're not the smartest burros in the corral.
So what's our time range? What's considered old movie, like time, or like we're talking?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, at this point, anything could be deemed as an old movie, because it's funny, when I mentioned that, one of the films that come to mind was Independence Day. I remember when that movie came out, I thought it was the baddest flick. I loved it. And now I watch Independence Day, and I'm like, who the hell put this together?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Not necessarily with that
film,
but
you know what that might be? You know what that might be? And man, we're pushing the clock. I think we're going to blow it again. And not in a good way.
I think it speaks
a lot about the movies that were out around it.
Ah. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, as a matter of fact, last week, I think, was the 40th anniversary of Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight coming out. Yeah. That song is 40 goddamn years old. So when we talk about older movies, I mean, for crying out loud, you know, Star Wars is, what, 45 years old, give or take? The Godfather is 50 years old. So, yeah, those are old folks, old flicks. So we don't have to go back to...
I was going to assume at least the 60s, but okay.
But, yeah, I would definitely say cut it off at the 80s. You know, like 1980, cut it off there and say anything from 79 on back, which I can think of a ton of them right off the top of my head already.
Well, yeah, that's 40 years. That's 40 years. I can run with that. I guess I was thinking closer to 50, but, yeah.
A few of them come to mind, Ralph.
Silly question. Right, what qualifies as an antique car today? I remember at a certain point an antique car was 25 years old or older.
20.
Maybe we kind of... I'm just running with a certain point. I just remember somewhere around there. Yeah. You know what, Tim? Good on you. You got that coming. As many old age shots as you've taken at me over the years, yeah. You got it coming.
Oh, I know.
And now
know
you gotta eat a blue chew just to pee joke. I mean, we're on it.
Hey, look, you know what? I'll own it. I will own it. The other thing is, on the split side, I do have to, you know, take more maintenance on my shoes because that used to rinse off some of the dust and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, now it's no longer spit shine your boots. You got to piss shine your boots, right? Outstanding. Well, I reckon we'll go ahead and pass it on around for the parting shots, and then I'll go get the old salty British chick in on us to cut things off. But, yeah, well done tonight, gentlemen. I appreciate the conversation and everything. And, yeah, maybe next week we'll go ahead and shoot for the film thing and run with that. You know, bring a couple with you, and we'll have us a little discussion.
Oh,
or maybe a large discussion.
I got a couple from the 60s I still love.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, my God. I got a ton more than that I still love.
Yeah, I got three that just kind of popped up in my head. One of them, a little preview. One of them was A Night to Remember. You remember the old Titanic movie? The old black and white Titanic flick before Leonardo
okay.
did one? That one, that was a creepy-ass movie for certain. Then, of course, King Kong. Planet of the Apes. And the other one was Nosferatu. You remember that one, the silent vampire
yeah.
flick?
Yeah.
And
well,
my
early nominees are 1965, The Great Race, Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, and Emily Wood. Right around there, The Magnificent Men and Their Flying Machines. And
yep.
I was going to bring up the original Godzilla and the original Rodan, because those were those kaiju movies that had a darkness and edge to them.
Yeah. If you go on HBO Max right now, they've got a handful of them on there, and that's what got me watching King Kong the other night, is that I had gotten into the habit of watching a couple Godzilla flicks and all that jazz, and I was like, ah, well, shit, you know. I actually watched Son of Kong, which was absolutely horrible. We'll discuss it next week, but nevertheless, yeah, we'll maybe pull that off next week and go ahead and go at it. And,
Which is, just for the record, pull that off is not to be confused with rubbing one out.
Okay. Wow.
That's a great elevator joke, because, you know, whenever you go into an elevator, the one is the one that everybody hits, so it's always smudged. So whenever you get in an elevator, you go, damn, somebody's rubbed one out in the elevator. I love that joke. So, nevertheless, I'm getting the call from the British lady, so I'm going to go ahead and pass it around the room real quick. So, Tim, what kind of parting shots have you got for us tonight, brother?
The last time we chatted, maybe it's been a couple weeks ago by now. No, it was last week. We were some one of those. We were close around August 25th. I don't know if it was on the actual day 25th or whatnot, but I intended to give my mom a shout out because it was her birthday. So anyway, happy birthday, Mom. She's 1 year shy of the 80th. Nobody knows who the hell she is, so it's fine if I say her age. But anyway, that's what I figured I'd share.
We know she's
year.
Your mom. Oh, I'm so good
well,
to tag her on social media.
If she yeah, bothers laying claim to you in the first place, though.
After I said that, right?
All right, I'm going to run in and jump in on some. Happy birthday, Jim's mom.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that clearly got lost in the roast. Those folks out there doing the storm support, be safe. Well, be smart. Just saying, be smart. And I'll roll in my usual closing comments with that because we already broke that mark with our time. We got the extra innings going on. To everybody, our listeners, the team, be smart. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And again, those folks out there that are doing that support thing that nobody's getting their electricity fast enough and stuff like that, well, a lot of the people out there, I know for a fact that there's at least one person out there providing your support that's been on your side of things without electricity, but by the same token, they got to be out there and doing it safe. Because if they're frying themselves, you ain't going to be able to turn on anything electric. So, just saying.
Yeah, you got to help them help you. Yeah. No, absolutely. Well said. And a big happy birthday again to Tim's mom. Hope she's doing well and enjoys her birthday celebration. And speaking of birthdays, tonight, and I think it's still a gross calculation, we're still trying to figure out, but our second rescue, our third pup of the family, Mika, our little tree walker hound, is turning a year old today. So I think it's earlier, so we may be celebrating in August next year, but nevertheless, she will be having her little birthday bash tomorrow evening because my lovely wife will be heading to Washington, D.C. Friday to celebrate the, wait for it, 16th birthday of my twin granddaughters next week.
Son of a...
Yeah, just about that, huh, Todd?
Hey, let me throw this out there real quick, Dave. Speaking of birthdays, you remember this guy? He used to work with the different woman, I recall Woman Support Group for sure, Richard Kuna, who moved out west to the Vegas area and all that. His birthday's up here on Friday. That's the 3rd. Tony Petuelo, he's one of my Marine mates. He's got a birthday coming up here this Saturday. Cindy Boo Boo Earl, she's got a birthday on Sunday. And Monique Jackson, she's was one of my Marines. Her hubby just retired. She's still active duty. She's getting ready to retire soon. Her birthday is the following day. So that's my birthday group. But, yeah, Richard Kuna is going to have a birthday here. You remember him, I suspect.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know me and names these days, it's starting to drift. I mean,
I'll tell you this. The fact that he ended up a bus driver, you'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, him? Yeah.
He got the job he was built for. It just, he's a classic bus driver by appearance.
Got the look and everything.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Yeah, I just, you know, Mika has been here now. It's coming up on a year here in October, if not November. I think it's October. We've had her for a year. And she's a supernova's worth of energy. She's a pain in the neck. But, by God, I love that little turd
with all
my heart. Just like, yeah, just like I do
that's
my other
walker.
Two. Yeah. And so, as I like to say from time to time on the show, that in the event you're in the market for a pet, be it a dog, cat, bird, in the event you're in the mood for a specific breed for a specific reason, then by all means, go on out there and buy yourself a dog or a cat or whatever. But in the event that you just want a companion, I would very, very, very much suggest going to a pet rescue or your local pound, and because those dogs and those cats and those animals, whatever they may be, they've already seen the worst of it, and becoming part of a family is all they really want. As a matter of fact, there she is right now coming outside the take some business. So if you get a chance,
yes,
go do a dog
this
rescue.
Ain't going to help our extra innings. You know what? For our rescue animals, I'm going to love this stuff. Effectively, all the grandkids are some sort of rescue. Yorkie, the daughter-in-law, Casey, got him because her sister-in-law that owned it, her brother's side, when she got pregnant, developed an allergy, and Ollie has become part of our family, and he's been over at the house for like a month now with Darren's new job and all that kind of stuff. That dog, most affectionate thing you ever seen. And it's kind of funny, Yuki mentioned that the last time Gary came over the house, he made sure he jumped up onto the couch, onto the blanket, and tried to be invisible to say he wasn't leaving. He was perfectly happy where he was. Unhappy at home by any means, but he Yuki said that even when Casey, sometimes she'll come over and sack out on the couch when she's doing a cloping, as Dave would call it. You close one night, then you got to open the next morning.
Open the next morning.
Saves her the better part of an hour round trip by coming and crashing at our place, grabbing some couch space. Yuki said the dog will come back and sleep on the bed with her instead of going and sleeping on the couch with his mommy. And that is, the Yorkie is such her baby, and he was a rescue. They have the cat at the house, too, Aslan. And he's... You know, it took him a while to adjust. It was best that Ollie was there because Ollie is his best friend. He will pin that damn dog down and launder the hell out of him with his tongue all day long and play and stuff like that. But that cat is just set in there, and he was at Hurricane Rescue. We have Kylo, daughter naming convention there. He is pet-wise, he is the glue in the household. We got that, Gigi, the prima donna. Yuki said it's hilarious because if she goes to try to get a quick nap before work, she says, let's go take a nap. And that cat will race her to the bed to grab her spot to go take a nap with her. And she was a rescue that spent her first several months hiding behind the chair.
Wow. But you know,
completely different animal, and didn't, you know, and of course we got the bearded lizard, that was a rescue. And that Gigi has slept on the windowsill with the bearded lizard while the bearded lizard was on the windowsill getting some sun, spicy artificial sunlight with a high-end special lamp. She has used that damn bearded lizard as a pillow, and that bearded lizard was good to go and just let her do it.
And they've all become one big happy family. And that's exactly what these pets want. They want family.
They're all rescues. They're all rescues. So, look, there's a million reasons on things. I know Tim's got a million gazillion animals out there. Those rescue pets are important, and they I know how much they mean to Yuki. I really do. I know how much they meant to me.
I think the rescue pets get it. And I know Rob's out here right now with Sadie, our first rescue. And she's the one who had been through the most turmoil. She was two before we got her. And I'm telling you, you're not going to find a sweeter, she's right there beside me, and you could tell, you know, it's funny when everybody gets up in the morning and starts doing their stuff, she immediately goes and lays back down in the bed and lays on Dale's pillow, and she'll lay in there. You know, it's funny, you whip out snacks, the other two are right there. You got to call her because she would rather lay in that bed on Dale's pillow than come and get a snack, and that's how important. That's how much she appreciates having comfort. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, if you get a chance and you're in the market for a pet, go to a rescue, man, because those animals get it, and they just want some love. So, and they'll give it back.
And just for the record, we're not doing Pollyanna glasses. We know they don't always work, but, man, no. When they work, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's a different kind of love you get, man. So, yeah, most certainly. Go out there and rescue a damn pet, you know, and keep your money. I mean, the way they want to charge them $2,500 for a puppy now, $2,500 for a dog, that dog can piss all over my house. I'm not beating a $2,500. Hell, I didn't spend $2,500 on my kids. So, I mean, yeah, you're welcome, Rob. Well, might have made it
hell,
So I'm gonna go in there and get the salty lady before she reinstates royal rule on us, or what is that? Monarchy? I can't remember the rule. Imperial rule. That's the word I was looking for. But gentlemen, I sure do appreciate the conversation and the companionship tonight. Next week. Okay, good night, dear. Next week, we'll be hitting the old films. Pass the word. That's the homework assignment, gentlemen. So for all y'all listening, thank you for joining us tonight. Be safe, be sane, and try to take care of one another. All right? Thanks for listening.
Good night,
gentlemen. I hope to start tonight.
Be smart. Take care of yourselves and one another. Big hugs.
British lady.